The MLB offseason floodgates have opened, and we are going to talk about it. I'm Ben Seegisser, and this is World of Baseball. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 54 of the World of Baseball podcast. To those who have been listening throughout the offseason, I issue you a big, big thank you. I hope you guys have enjoyed the tremendous guests we have had on so far, with more guests along those lines coming. I hope you guys enjoy those episodes and look forward to the upcoming episodes of the World of Baseball podcast. One quick thing before we jump right into this packed episode of the World of Baseball podcast. The World of Baseball podcast Twitter is up and running. I am running the World of Baseball Twitter. As many of you guys know, the World of Baseball Twitter was hacked a couple months ago. We are finally able to wrestle the account back after a lot of talks with Twitter. We were able to clean it out and start over. Right now, we have like 24 followers on the World of Baseball podcast Twitter. That is over 400 less than the initial following of the World of Baseball podcast Twitter. And I know you, as fans of the World of Baseball podcast, can do better than that. So go ahead and follow the World of Baseball podcast on Twitter. You will not regret that decision. Let's jump right into this episode of the show. The offseason is in full swing, and there is tons to talk about, including major offseason trades and signings thus far. We're going to jump right into it with a discussion of the first major trade that I saw that I had not talked about yet, which was Josh Bell to the Washington Nationals for Will Crow and Eddie Yean. This trade between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Washington Nationals is exactly the type of trade that Pittsburgh intended to make this offseason, trading players on their roster with major league value for pitching prospects. They're going to do this with other guys too, I believe. I don't believe Josh Bell is going to be the first solid Pittsburgh player that you see being moved this offseason. They're going to do this with guys like Adam Frazier, I believe, and Joe Musgrove as well. I can see them moving those guys this offseason to get some young pitching help. Bell had a bad 2020 season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He had just 226. He had 8 home runs and a negative wins above replacement. I believe it was negative 0.4. Contrasting his 2019 season, where he hit 277 with 37 home runs. The Nationals are really hoping when they make this trade that he could rebound into 2019 form and add protection behind Juan Soto and Trey Turner at the top of the order. The Nationals are a team that are still competing in a division that's getting ever tougher, and this signing could help them if they could see Josh Bell return to previous form. Kyle Schwarber signing, which we will discuss quickly later on, could also help with this. We'll talk about that later. As for the Pirates, what did they get out of this deal? We know that Washington got Josh Bell, but what did the Pittsburgh Pirates get? What happened for the Pittsburgh Pirates in this deal? What made this deal intriguing? As for the Pirates, they get Will Crow, who got rocked in his first 3 major league starts. It's a very small sample, obviously, but he's projected to be a future solid starter. He was the Nationals' number 16 overall prospect in their top 30, according to MLB.com, and he fulfills immediate need. The Pittsburgh Pirates need a fifth guy in their starting rotation, and Will Crow is going to do that. I believe he'll have a better year when he gets a full sample size instead of those 3 starts, his first 3 major league starts. I don't think he'll get rocked in the upcoming season. We have to wait and see with Will Crow, but he's a solid arm. He's 26 years old. He's major league ready, and he fulfills an immediate need for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's not the centerpiece of this deal. The centerpiece of this deal is Eddie Yean. Eddie Yean is definitely more intriguing. He's only 19 years old, but he looks to have a seriously high upside, way higher than Will Crow's upside ever was and will ever be. He's a hard-throwing kid. He's got great stuff for his age. He's only 19, so it's very hard to predict his major league impact. We have no idea what this guy is going to do when he gets to the big leagues, but they see him as a piece for the potential future. They see him as a long-term project, a guy that when this Pirates team turns around and is competitive again in 4 or 5 years, he could be in the major leagues, maybe as a reliever because of his hard-throwing ability, or as a starter because he's a big kid and he could throw for a long time. I guess we'll see what happens with that. I like this trade. This is a classic Pittsburgh Pirates rebuilding offseason trade, and the Washington Nationals trying to stay relevant in their division trade. I think this trade is a win for Washington. It helps them move closer to their goals than it does help Pittsburgh move closer to theirs. Pittsburgh needs to build a sustainable long-term pitching staff, and this might help a little bit, but I don't think Will Crow is a long-term guy, and I don't think Eddie Yean is projectable enough to say he's a long-term guy as well, so I don't think this helps Pittsburgh as much as it helps Washington. I think this is a trade that helps both sides, but I do think it helps Washington more because if they can get the Josh Bell that they got, that the Pittsburgh Pirates got in 2019, they're looking at a 35-plus homer season. They're looking at a 260-plus batting average from their first baseman, a position that they definitely need to fill with the absence of Ryan Zimmerman. Obviously a big loss for the Washington Nationals at first base. He won the World Series with them in 2019, fulfilled his goal as a longtime Washington National. It's time to move on. Josh Bell, I believe, helps the Washington Nationals. Even if his production isn't as high as it was in 2019, he's still going to be an average first baseman, I believe. Defensive-wise, he's not 100% there. But Josh Bell, solid move for the Washington Nationals. I think they win that deal. That's the first deal I wanted to talk about. Moving on to the second deal, and this deal shocked me, and it shocked a lot of people. Blake Snell leaves the Tampa Bay Rays to San Diego in exchange for Luis Patino, Cole Wilcox, Blake Hunt, and Francisco Mejia. This trade, in my opinion, the moment I saw this trade, I was like, this is 100% an easy win for the San Diego Padres. Along with the Darvish trade that we're going to talk about later, this gives them the best rotation in baseball by far. Looking at the rotation right now, it's Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Chris Paddock, Danielson LeMay, and he was a solid rookie this year, and whoever else could fill in that fifth spot. Now they traded away Zach Davies, so I don't think it's going to be him, obviously, and it could be one of their top prospects, Ryan Weathers, Mackenzie Gore, two really, really solid top 100 MLB prospects who could fill in that fifth spot. And then obviously Mike Clevinger returning next year from Tommy John. He won't pitch this year, but he'll pitch next year. He has a year left on his contract. This rotation is going to be dirty as is, and this Blake Snell trade is really, really solid for the San Diego Padres. What did they do? They preserved their top prospects. Yes, they gave up one of their top five prospects, but they had to do that in order to get a guy like Blake Snell. They preserve guys like Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams, and Luis Campusano, who is their future catcher. That's why they gave up Francisco Mejia. I'll talk a little bit more about this trade. They do give the Rays a very solid player. Luis Patino is the Padres' former number three prospect. He's a 1-2 spot future starter. They saw him this year. He showed serious future potential. He's been heavily watched throughout the minor leagues. He's going to be a good position. He's going to be a good player for the Tampa Bay Rays. He'll slot in as his top starter in their lineup this coming season. That's an immediate impact prospect with a long-term future. That's definitely the centerpiece of this deal, without a doubt. Francisco Mejia, he's been disappointing. I was very high on him when he was coming up through Cleveland. He was one of the top catching prospects in baseball. I believe he was the number one catching prospect in baseball at a point. He was known to be an offensive catcher. He was an offense-first catcher. But if you look at his career hitting statistics, they're not so impressive. Just to point out, the .229 career average, it's something that the Padres don't really mind giving away due to their third-ranked prospect being a catcher named Luis Campusano, and the fact that they got another catcher in the deal that they made later on for Yu Darvish. This is a solid deal. They give away a guy who might have some upside, and maybe the Tampa Bay Rays can churn that upside a little bit. Maybe the Tampa Bay Rays can make Francisco Mejia into a better player, as they've done with so many players throughout the years. As we saw this year, them making the World Series, obviously, that took making a lot of decent players into really, really solid players on their lineup. Luis Campusano, they managed to keep, and he'll be up in the San Diego Padres major league team for the long term. So Francisco Mejia, obviously, he's got some interesting potential still for the future. He's still very young, but they don't mind giving him away for a return like Blake Snell. Prospect Cole Wilcox with the Padres, former number seven prospect. He's regarded as one of the best pure stuff pitchers in the 2020 draft class. He's an absolutely elite stuff pitcher. It's going to be interesting to see what the Tampa Bay Rays can do with him. And obviously, you have defense-first catcher Sam Hunt, the former Padres number 14 prospect. He helps that package too. So what do the Tampa Bay Rays get? They get an offense-first catcher and a defense-first catcher who can help the big leagues. Sam Hunt is a little bit further out, but he could help the big leagues in 2 to 3 years. Then obviously, you've got Francisco Mejia, who's probably immediately going to slot in as the backup catcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. This trade, in my opinion, is obviously won by the San Diego Padres. I don't think it's much of a question. The Rays have ways of making these trades profitable. They have ways of taking guys who they get in return for big pieces that they trade away and turning them into legitimate superstars. And I'm sure one or two of these guys who come out of this trade, maybe all of them, are going to turn into really solid players for the Tampa Bay Rays. But the thing is, they have their priorities wrong. They need to keep their starting pitcher who helped them get to the World Series. They have to go back. One's not enough. They got to go and take the team they have and go for it again and again and again. They've proven their competitiveness. Now they have to build on it instead of tearing it down. I don't understand why Tampa Bay Rays do this. Well, actually, I do. It's a financial thing. I'm very versed in that. I'm a fan of the Cleveland Indians. That being said, if they can keep Snell for as long as they can keep him, they've got to do it. They've got to push as hard as they can to win that World Series. I think they should be building, not disassembling. That's why I think this trade is obviously won by the San Diego Padres, who put themselves in prime position to contend with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'll talk about that more as we move on to our next trade of this episode of the World of Baseball podcast. Yu Darvish and catcher Victor Caratini to the San Diego Padres for starting pitcher Zach Davies and prospects Reginald Preciado, Owen Cassie, Ishmael Mina, and Yason Santana. these are a bunch of no names, in my opinion, to be completely honest with you. They're all top 30 prospects from the Chicago Cubs, from the San Diego Padres that went to the Chicago Cubs, but they did not secure any of the top five prospects. They didn't secure a top 10 prospect in the trade for the ace that Yu Darvish is. They basically gave up Yu Darvish for some guys that might be good in the future. There's no guarantee. They get two shortstop prospects here, and yes, in Santana and Reginald Preciado, and then they get Owen Cassie and Ismael Mina, two outfield prospects, the 13th and 15th ranked Padres prospects, respectively. Santana is the 16th and Preciado is the 11th. The Padres get another ace. They basically get another ace. They protect their top 10 prospects. This is another huge win for the San Diego Padres. They make their lineup legitimately elite. You're seeing it this year ridiculously. Just the San Diego Padres are doing what every competitive team in the MLB should try and do. They're doing what so many teams are scared to do in trading for big players. They have a stacked farm system. They're protecting the key parts of their farm system while still making legitimate trades. This trade also, just on a side point, shows the direction of the Chicago Cubs. It's 100% rebuilding. I've talked about it in previous episodes. I'm like, I don't know where this team is going. Maybe they're rebuilding. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just moving Schwarber to fill up space for a big trade piece. Jose Martinez, maybe they're non-tendering him for that reason. Who knows? I don't really know. The Cubs are now obviously rebuilding. I expect Chris Bryant. I expect Javi Baez. I expect all the guys around those players to be moved as well this offseason. There are rumors swirling right now as I'm talking that Chris Bryant's going to be moved by the end of this week. We'll see what happens. Maybe the Cubs can do a quick turnaround rebuild and get some pretty close to major league impact players that they could bring up and climb to the top of the division. I don't even think this is a good time for the Chicago Cubs to be bringing this down. Their division is not particularly strong. It's up in the air. You have teams like the Reds, the Brewers, and the Cardinals who can all compete for the top of that division. And the Cubs are showing that they don't really want to put in effort to compete for a division that's very easy to compete in right now. I think any team that tries a little bit has a shot in this division. This isn't a division where it's going to be too top-heavy, ridiculously top-heavy, like the NL West, which is going to be the Padres and the Dodgers on top, or it's going to be like the NL East, where it's going to be the Mets at the top of the division, maybe, hopefully for them, the Atlanta Braves up there right with them. It's not going to be a top-heavy division. Everyone has a chance in this division. I don't know why the Cubs are pushing in the opposite direction right now. It doesn't seem like a good move on their behalf. And don't get me wrong, these prospects have upside. They're all top 30 Padres prospects. They made it to the top 30 in a really stacked farm system. They're really, really solid players. But you need more than that for you. You need to secure a top 5 prospect if you want to give up an ace like Yu Darvish. This is an easy win for the San Diego Padres. Moving on to a trade that I really, really did not want to talk about. My favorite players, Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco, to the New York Mets for Andrés Giménez, Amed Rosario, second-round pitcher Josh Wolf, and 10th overall New York Mets prospect Isaiah Green. This one really, really sucks. The Mets acquire arguably the best shortstop in the game, one of my favorite players, a longtime Cleveland Indian, as well as an above-average starter for two average infielders, maybe slightly above average, in Rosario and Giménez, and two slightly relevant prospects. I could say a lot about this deal. I'm going to try and keep it PC, but basically this is classic straight-up Cleveland Indians. The moment they have to pay a star, the moment they have to keep a franchise piece and it costs a little bit more money than they're comfortable spending, they don't do it. They trade away a piece, and look, honestly, I've seen this Lindor thing coming for a long time. I knew Francisco Lindor was going to be traded, and I'm okay with that trade, meaning you get Andrés Giménez, who's a decent infielder with good future potential, and Amed Rosario, a former top 10 MLB prospect with also good future potential. You get these two guys who could hold down the infield for a couple years until the big infield prospects that the Indians have are ready to come up. I get that, but Carlos Carrasco? Why do you have to move him? He's a veteran. He helps the pitching staff. He survived cancer in Cleveland. He did great things for the city of Cleveland. He's a piece that means more to the Indians than just his statistics on the ball field. And his statistics on the ball field aren't actually that bad. You're trading this guy for guys like Josh Wolf and Isaiah Green. I don't see how this is a fair trade. Obviously, the Lindor return was not going to be as great as it would have been if they had sent him away 2 years ago, or even at the beginning of, or even at the trade deadline last year. But they didn't, and this is the return they're going to get. I think it's a very, very modest return. It does exactly what the New York Mets want. It's Steve Cohen's fantastic moves. He's going to make more like that. I expect him to sign George Springer. I expect him to sign another relief pitcher like Liam Hendricks or Brad Hand or someone along those lines. This Mets team is going to look stacked, and Francisco Lindor is already hyping up in the New York Mets uniform. It's going to be a great season for New York Mets fans, and this secures that. I mean, just honestly, just a tough trade to see. Look, and I'm not so low on Andrés Giménez. He's probably, if I were to choose a guy from the Mets who they're willing to give up in a trade for Francisco Lindor, this would probably be the guy I chose. I mean, Andrés Giménez, he's a guy with future potential. He's a great contact hitter. He can play third, second, or shortstop. That's going to help the Indians out a lot. You have Amed Rosario, who's a solid defensive shortstop who can hold down the shortstop position very well. Can he hold his fair share offensively? I don't really think so. He hasn't proved that yet. We just have to wait and see. Again, these guys are highly touted prospects. Amed Rosario was a very highly touted prospect. The best thing I can hope for the Cleveland Indians is that Amed Rosario comes through. That Amed Rosario turns into the prospect he was ranked to be and turns into a guy like Francisco Lindor. That would be the highest ideal situation. Obviously, getting a guy like Josh Wolf is important for the Indians. They've taken guys like him, second-round pitchers who come out and they're solid and they play out of college and things like that, and they turn them into Cy Young pitchers. I would not be surprised if Josh Wolf turns into an elite pitcher in the future as well, but you can't say 100%. And Isaiah Green, obviously this helps with the outfield depth in the minor leagues, something that's notoriously weak even in the lower levels of the minor leagues at this point. Obviously losing a solid outfielder in the Rule 5 draft in Ka'ai Tom, Isaiah Green helps out with that. But again, this trade just seems so lopsided, and it's so hard to see as an Indians fan. Honestly, I can't imagine we would have gotten a better return in an ideal world. I maybe would have said, hey, trade him to the New York Yankees, get a solid major league ready outfielder, and get Miguel Andujar in the deal back, and keep Carlos Carrasco in the lineup. I don't know. I would have rather seen him probably go to the Yankees, because I feel like we would have gotten a better return from him there. If we're going to trade him to the Mets, this is probably the best return we would have got from them. We're not going to get any of their long-term prospects or any of their guys who are blossoming into stars, like obviously Pete Alonso. You're never going to get him. You're not going to get even a guy like Dom Smith or J.D. Davis or Jeff McNeil. You're never going to get one of those core pieces in a trade like that. That's what they're trying to build up. We are going to get prospects, and I think the fact that we got two major league ready infielders, Giménez is going to play second, Rosario is going to play short, is a decent return. That being said, this one really, really stings. I'll talk quickly about the Kyle Schwarber signing. The Washington Nationals are seeing themselves get swallowed up in a division that's looking to compete very, very strongly. Take a look at the teams they're facing. The Atlanta Braves has the best young core in baseball. They have one of the best starting rotations in baseball, and they made it very far this postseason. They made it all the way to the semifinals, all the way to the National League Conference Series. It was very, very cool to watch them make it that way with such a young roster, and I expect them not being done this offseason as well. We'll see what happens with them, but they're definitely competitive, and they're going to play at the top of that division. The Philadelphia Phillies have had two bad seasons in a row, but you can never really count them out because of how much money they were willing to splurge on guys, and the fact that they may bring back JT Realmuto this offseason puts them in a decent position. And obviously the New York Mets, who have just begun their rampage this offseason. They have just begun making trades. They got James McCann to start for them as catcher, a former all-star catcher. They get Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco. They sign Marcus Stroman back and expect them to sign an outfielder like George Springer or someone along those lines in the near future, as well as stocking up their farm system this offseason. Again, this Washington Nationals signing is doing a little bit to face a bigger problem. The Nationals still want to compete. They believe they have a good enough starting rotation to compete at the top. They believe they have a decent enough lineup to compete, and that's why they add guys like Kyle Schwarber. That's why they make a trade for a guy like Josh Bell. Kyle Schwarber is a good signing here. He ends up making more money than he would have made with the Cubs. He would have made $7 million with the Cubs. He makes $10 million in this one-year deal. And we'll see if Kyle Schwarber can return to his form. He had a bad 2020 season. If he can return to 2018, 2017 form and 2016 form during the playoffs, you would see a guy like Kyle Schwarber really protect guys like Juan Soto and Trey Turner. And then you have a solid core four, assuming Josh Bell performs the way he performed in 2019. I think it's a good low-risk signing for the Washington Nationals. I don't think it's a bad signing. I don't think it's enough to get them to the position they want to be in, which is competitiveness. But I do think it's a good enough signing. It's a decent signing. I want to see the Washington Nationals do more. As you guys know, I'm a fan of the Nationals, not as much as the Indians. I'm a fan of the Washington Nationals. I like seeing them successful, obviously, being born in Montreal. Montreal Expos would be ideal to have, but the Nationals, the former Montreal Expos, it's fun to watch them. I was very happy when they won the World Series. I'd be happy to see them show more competitive signings and trade makings this offseason. We'll see what happens. I don't expect them to be done yet. I think they'll go and acquire another power bat for the outfield. Maybe Marcell Ozuna is still on their radar. I'm not 100% sure. We'll see what happens. That being said, that is all for this episode of the World of Baseball podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I will continue to churn out fantastic episodes this offseason. Stay tuned for the next episode, which will hopefully have a very, very interesting guest. Many of you haven't heard of him, but he is making waves in the baseball community. Hopefully, we will be talking to him on the next episode. So, yeah, thank you very much for tuning into the World of Baseball podcast. Remember to follow the Twitter account. This is Bensie Gizzer signing out. If you like what you're hearing from the World of Baseball podcast, please consider supporting. The link is in the podcast description. Thank you so much and have a good day.